to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 137 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. Much like the weather in Kentucky, it was a picture-perfect weekend here in Metro Detroit this weekend. It was awesome. And we had three night races, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Not going to lie. That worked out perfect for me because, you know, every couple months, the wife will be like, hey, when can we do something on a Sunday? Well, boom, here you go. The doctor gave her clearance to be a passenger in a vehicle. So we went out to lunch, took her out shopping on Sunday, which is happy to be able to get her out of the house for a bit. She's been cooped up in the house really since her surgery back in June. So, hey. Could not have worked any perfect to have three night races this past weekend, which, of course, I cannot wait to talk about that in a little bit. Random side note, Prime Days, really, I scored some deals, and the UPS guy is going to be driving by my house a lot over the next day or two, which I'm pretty excited about. One thing I did get that I'm a little disappointed is on back order, but I don't care. For $20, I got the PlayStation Classic. So I can't wait for that to come in the mail. That will get played quite a bit. Got the Nintendo Classic, which I still use. I got rid of the PlayStation a couple months ago, so I've been almost video game-less, which hasn't happened since, I don't know, I was 9. So I'll take a PlayStation Classic any day here. So looking forward to that. All right, let's see. What do we got here? So a couple funny stories from this weekend. So if you follow along on Twitter, you definitely saw a lot of tweets this past weekend as I live tweeted all three races, interacted, of course, with the PETM podcast and a bunch of you guys as well, which makes that a ton of fun. Thursday night, I was sporting my Tyler Ankrum shirt, and I was up at the bar having a couple drinks with a couple buddies who are now diehard fans, which is awesome. You guys know my buddy Zaylin. He's slowly come on board. He's been hanging out watching some truck racing, which is awesome. And my buddy Dan, who I've known for a few years, he is now all in. He came over to our Daytona party back in February. He got a square, and he's been hooked since then. He's doing DraftKings. And he's all in, which is awesome. So I am out there recruiting fans, which is a ton of fun. So as you noticed, I had a two-race win streak going this weekend with the T-shirts. Sporting Tyler Ankrum on Thursday, boom, gets the win. And Friday night was rocking the Cole Custer shirt, and boom again, he gets the win. So down to the cup race. Could I pull off the trifecta since I can't do it in fantasy? But definitely having fun tweeting about that on social media. So it was either Bowyer or Harvick shirt that was going on Saturday night. And, well, I went with Harvick, and not that it would have mattered either way. But, again, that was a lot of fun tweeting about that. And not going to lie, I text both Tyler Ankrum and Cole Custer a picture of me with their shirt on post-race from them and mid-drink at the bar for me with my shirts. And they both responded, loved it, which is just freaking awesome. That's all I have to say about that. And Sunday, aside from taking the wife out, I was able to cross something off the to-do list that's been on the list for a while. And since there wasn't a race to watch, I took advantage of some spare time, and I took advantage of a spare TV that's been sitting in my basement for a while now. And I've got that now on the wall next to the big screen, because a dilemma, as I'm sure is for many of you, you know, come fall, you know, we've got NASCAR and we've got football, whether it's night racing and college football at night or, you know, during the day. You know, hey, we want to keep up with our football, right? So I will no longer have to flip channels, as I now have my own side-by-side, and I am very excited. Lap Traffic Nation, I am so excited because this week starts the countdown to MIS Week in August. Yes, it is a month-long event for me, which I am very excited about, and it just occurred to me, how do you not play Europe, the Final Countdown, which is just an awesome song. So, yes, this week kicks off a month-long celebration for MIS Race Weekend. I have got bonus shows very well possible for the next 4 weeks. 3 weeks for sure. Got the listener call-in show this week. There is something brewing for next week that I'm going to keep under wraps for just a minute or two here. Got the MIS show Friday, the week of the race. And who knows? There very well could be a fourth one thrown in there. So over the next 4 weeks, three, maybe four bonus shows from the Lap Traffic Podcast. So I hope you're ready. I hope you are all ready to stay on the lead lap. And man, today's show stacked as well. But before I get to that, don't forget the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads has you covered from sports to entertainment. So go check out bigheadsmedia.com. Tonight, fresh off his first career truck win this past weekend, Mr. Tyler Ankrum will be back on the show, which I'm stoked. Can't wait to talk to him here in a little bit. Actually, a few minutes. Kentucky, man, got all three races to break down for you guys. Social media, new giveaway is out there. We'll get the weather for this coming weekend at New Hampshire. Lucky dog lap down picks fantasy to close it out. All right, enough talking. I've gone on long enough. Let's get Mr. Tyler Ankrum on the line. Lapped Traffic Nation making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 17 Toyota with DGR Crosley. He's racked up four top tens in just 10 races this year in the Truck Series, and he is the winner of this past weekend's Buckle Up in Your Truck 225 at Kentucky. Welcome back, Tyler Ankrum. Sir, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, how are you?
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking some time to call in. So excited to have you back on the show. Man, first off, congrats on the first career win. I had you along for the ride Thursday night out with some buddies. I was sporting my Tyler Ankrum shirt, man. It was so awesome. How are you still riding high on that emotion?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. I had to get a hat size about three times bigger than usual. My head grew so much in about a day. It was it was such an awesome experience to have. I still can't, honestly. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around what we've done and what we've accomplished. I'm just so excited and thrilled for my team and what we've been able to do here.
Oh man, it's been fun. Like I said, you've only 10 races this year alone. You guys have grown leaps and bounds. I'm a fan, man. You know that, but just seeing your driving on the track it's a noticeable difference from someone that's just sitting on the couch watching it. It's been awesome to watch you guys grow so quickly in such a short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, for us to, have grown like we have, it's truly incredible. And, we've had speed all year. Whenever I was in the 17 truck, we've had really good speed. I just make, those little tiny mistakes that always sets you back a position or two, and you don't have as good of a run as you would wish you would had. I mean, for example, like Charlotte, we're running up front, then I made a mistake on the leading on a restart. Dover, last 15 laps, I was running fifth or sixth, and car spun out in front of me, and we had nose damage. I ended up finishing ninth. Chicagoland, I was running third, and I had a pit road penalty, and ended up finishing like 12th.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, you guys have.
So we've been fast all year. We should have had better finishes, and we honestly should have, should have won one more time. I feel like, especially Chicagoland.
There's nothing wrong with feeling like you should have had one.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with feeling like one and actually getting one. You're right. Exactly. But, for us to, have done what we've done, such as a young team, especially as an underdog team, DGR Crosley isn't really talked about as a household name like Thor Sport, GMS, or KBM is. We're still kind of talked about and thought about as an underdog team, I believe at least. And for us to go out and lead laps like we did, lead the most amount of laps, and then win, I think just goes to show that, we can be a household.
Absolutely. So you mentioned leading laps. You led your career high in laps, and it looked like you were going to have your career best finish with a second. You still got your career best finish, but it was with a first. You know, you were making up ground on Moffitt. It looked like the laps were winding down a bit. Talk about when you saw that wiggle from him. Did you know they were close on fuel?
We knew pretty much with about 20 laps to go, they're about 2 laps short and they're about to save fuel. So I knew we were way good on fuel. So I knew I could drive as hard as I could. So, I mean, at the end there, we were catching Moffitt about a second a lap, which was pretty big. And I think before he ran out of fuel, I caught him from like 14 seconds back. I was closing within five when he started picking his pace back up again, but we knew he was going to be close. We just didn't know if he was going to have the time to, you know, save all that fuel. So, I mean, they knew, but I didn't really know. So I was just driving my rear end off.
You were just told, go.
Yeah. I was pedal to the metal all the way from start to finish.
Absolutely. All right. So you pick up the lead with about two to go. What was the first thing that ran through your mind? Like, oh my God, I'm in the lead, or please no yellow.
Yeah, well, that was the one thing. Please no yellow. And honestly, not a lot went through my mind at first. I just remember cracking a smile going down the back.
That's awesome.
I just cracked a smile on my helmet going down the back, and I went through 3 and 4, and I took the checkered, and it was a truly awesome experience. And honestly, you know, it took me a few days to, you know, fully understand and kind of like put all my thoughts together in my brain how like dude, you just won your first truck race. Like, I was super excited and happy and had, you know, felt like I had the weight off the world off my shoulders as I went in victory lane. But, you know, it just still took me forever to realize, you know the cosmic scales I've shifted, especially for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize how messed up the playoffs are now until I read one of the Matt Weaver's articles. Like, holy cow, like the next 3 weeks are about to be crazy.
Tyler, I'm going to tell you, I have been one of the biggest proponents of the truck series. And you guys are proving my point as to why the truck series is so awesome. There are three drivers outside the top eight with wins. Like, it is amazing what could happen over the next three truck races. It's incredible. And it goes to, I've been talking a long time that I think the Cup Series, 16 drivers is too many, because you're not going to have 16 different winners. You know, it's not going to happen. But you look at what's happening in the Truck Series, man, they need to cut that down to 12, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, all right. You mentioned the playoffs. As it stands now, you could potentially be taking someone's spot that's in right now.
Yeah.
You know, going into this week's race, you know, you're outside, you know, points differential is pretty big to make up in just 3 to 4 races. So what's the mind shift of the team been in just these short few days of going without a win, logging laps basically through the rest of the way, seeing what you can learn for next year to, all right, we're in it.
Yeah, well, the mind shift, well, for my side, you know, with sponsorship and all that, you know, we did those two start and park races to basically, you know, place our bet.
Sure.
And it was, you know, okay, it's time to start focusing on 2020. And we knew we had to win, but I didn't even think there was going to be a chance. And we went out and win, and it was literally as soon – me and my dad are standing in victory lane, and we're standing there like, how the hell are we going to find the money for the rest of the season? And so I think it's funny because you stand in victory lane and you're like, crap, I didn't expect this to happen. Like, we weren't really planning on this. We're just planning on, okay, sweet, you know, we had a good run. We'll just focus on 2020.
Right.
We'll try full time again in 2020. So, you know, we're actually still, we're only a handful of races short. So I'm not really too worried about it.
That's good.
I think this win and the boost of my confidence and the boost of my fan base will definitely help. And I'm just so thankful for what we've done and, the group I have around me. But you know, the morale, you know, it's gotten higher over there at DGR, and the mindset for them is, you know, just continue to go out and win. You know, if we've done it one time, we can do it again.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and once you get that first one off, they seem to come a little easier. It sounds like.
Yeah, and you know what? I think these summer months are, you know, good luck for me. Right around this time, the K&N was at Thompson. Now I was only leading the point series by one or two points to the K&N car. And I won Thompson and then went on to three in a row in the K&N car. So I think these summer months are really good for me and our team. And I just think it's our good luck right now. So I'm kind of don't want the summer to end.
Well, hey man, it's been fun. You know, you mentioned a little bit ago about maybe, you know, DGR and maybe Tyler Ankrum even not being a household name. But, you know, as I had a minute here to think about that, you know, I think within the next few weeks, you're going to be a household name because, you know, for the next 3 weeks, everyone's going to be talking about the point standings, who's in, who's out, cutoff line and all that. And your name is going to be mentioned a lot with the likes of Ross Chastain, who just got into the top 20 in points with his wins. Johnny Sauter still outside of it. So you're going to be in the conversation with these guys. So I think Tyler Ankrum is going to be known by a lot more people before this season's all said and done.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, that's really the goal for you to maintain a name in the sport and continually pushing forward up through the ranks. You know, the only thing that's more important than, you know, winning is running up front every week. You know, you can win and then run, you know, 12th to 15th, you know, but that way you don't really remain in the conversation. That's like, I think Infinger is a great example of that. Infinger hasn't won yet this year, but he runs up front every week. He's racked up so many stage points, so many regular season points that he might not even have to worry about winning. Unless we have three new winners by the time the playoffs comes.
Yep.
So
yeah,
you know,
it's
just and everyone talks about him. So, you know, just as important as winning is winning up front and being running up front and being consistent. So really winning and being consistent is going to be the key for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. All right. So you got an off week here. You know, you mentioned you and your dad in Victory Lane talking about, all right, we got to get something together here. So what's the off week going to be like for you?
Well, the off week is, you know, same old, same old. Got work here on the ranch here in Mooresville, North Carolina. I just ironically bought a bow at Gander Outdoors.
Awesome.
So I'll be playing with my bow here this week, getting used to it. And then, you know, same work as usual. After working at the race shop, going to the gym, you know, doing media. I couldn't believe the amount of people that were wanting interviews and doing TV stuff. So I have a pretty busy week here down here in Charlotte.
That's awesome. All right. So three races left in the regular season to maybe go out there and get one more. What would you say would play to your wheelhouse better to make that happen? Pocono, Eldora, or MIS?
That's a pretty tough question. I have some dirt experience, but it's been the better part of five, six years since the last time I've been on dirt. So I think Michigan International Speedway will have, you know, my best interest at heart.
Wow.
When it comes to getting a victory. But Pocono minus, I mean, exclude Eldora being dirt. Pocono is by far the toughest racetrack you go to all year. By far. You know, just long straightaways, you know, tight little corners where you got to slow down quite a bit. You know, these trucks, they're gutless. They don't have a lot of torque in them. They have a lot of RPM drop off. So for you to be really good at Pocono, you got to be so smooth and finesse when you go there. You have to be so consistent with your lap times because, you know, a little slip up, you know, you have that long straightaway. You know, that little slip up, you know, can be, you know, 2 or 3 miles per hour in a straightaway. Well, the guy behind you is not messing up and he motors on by you. So I think Pocono would be really, really tough.
You know, I think from a fan perspective, people see Pocono and they just think, you know, big, open, you know, pedal to the floor and just drive. And it is, like you said, it's so much more complicated than that there.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You know, we actually, when we go to Pocono, we put some of our teams put the biggest brake package we have on those trucks.
More so than like a Martinsville or Bristol?
Correct.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. And you mentioned MIS. Well, that's my home track, and I will be there, so hopefully I'll bring you a little luck.
Perfect. I'll see you there.
Absolutely. You will, for sure. Tyler, tell everybody where they can follow you at on social media.
Perfect. My Instagram is Tyler Ingram 58. Twitter is Tyler Ingram. Facebook, Tyler Ingram. It's all pretty straightforward. I'd love to see you on there. I'm pretty much trying to stay in contact with all my fans. I had something like over, 200 text messages and Instagram direct messages and Twitter direct messages to respond to. So I've been having a fun time doing that and talk with all the fans. So definitely shoot me a text.
That's very cool. I love that, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Tyler Ingram for taking some time out and coming on the show tonight. Tyler, great to talk to you. Great to catch up with you. Good luck over the next couple races, and I will definitely see you at MIS, man.
Yeah, man. I always appreciate you having me on, so thank you very much.
Awesome. Anytime, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Lap Traffic Nation, how awesome was that? Tyler Ankrum calling into the Lap Traffic Podcast just mere days after his victory. So awesome to talk to him. It's just such a cool story. All right, we got the win. Oh, wait. All right. Guess we got to go to work on getting some funding here. And that's the life of the racer, right? I mean, we saw it last year with Brett Moffitt, who, even though he was a lock in the playoffs, multiple wins, struggled, didn't have sponsorship throughout the playoffs, and goes out and ends up winning it. I would not be surprised if obviously I think the favorite right now would probably be Ross Chastain. But I mean, like I said, we got three guys outside the top eight in points with wins. There very well is more than likely going to be a Cinderella winner this year again, like we had last year with Mr. Brett Moffitt. All right, let's talk a little trucks from Kentucky. Sheldon Creed picking up the stage one win, Matt Crafton with the stage two win, and of course, Mr. Tyler Ankrum bringing home the checkered flag. Enfinger, Creed on the front row to start this thing, and Enfinger loses it early to Creed on the start, basically. I don't even think Enfinger led the first lap. Creed was able to build up almost a second lead in about three laps, fanning this one out pretty early. Creed and Enfinger about a second apart, though, with 15 to go, which, hey, place like Kentucky, I'm going to say this again probably when I talk Xfinity and when I talk Cup. It was very good racing for the track we were at, is kind of how I'm gonna label that one. Third place, Ross Chastain at the end of stage one. There was about 6.5 seconds back. Austin Hill down a cylinder with 7 to go in stage one. He brought it down pit road early. And it was a green stage one. Only 8 trucks on the lead lap at the end of this thing. So they were definitely putting them down. That's for sure. Lap traffic, no pun intended, was playing a role. And Sheldon Creed picks up the stage one win. Enfinger won the battle off pit road there, took advantage of the pit box. We only burned 6 laps in a 35-lap stage there. Come on. We can do better than this. We have to fix this some way, somehow. We need to stop counting caution laps during the stage breaks. I'm not a fan. I'm not opposed to the stages. I think for the most part, they have added to the value of the race and to the competition, and if the playoff points, all that. I'm not opposed. I don't hate it at all, but I do hate and greatly disdain, if hate's too strong a word, burning caution laps during these stage breaks. It takes away from the second and third stage. Each stage should have the option to run its full length under green, is my opinion there. So I would love to see a change to that, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Let's see here. Enfinger and Creed back out on the front row again to start stage two. Enfinger this time able to get the lead. Rhodes brought it down with 13 to go in stage two for a tire issue. Caution out just 5 laps into stage two as the 20 and 54 get into it. Restart with 19 to go. And like I said, I mean, this thing, 35 laps, You know, we burned six there, and we didn't restart stage two after only having five green flag laps with 19 to go. That's not acceptable, in my opinion. I'm sorry. Enfinger and Creed again on the restart, and five laps after that, 42 of Chad Finley goes around. We wreck on the restart with Dean, Balicki, and Burton got loose, took a few guys with him. Sauter with some damage, restart with six to go in stage two. Crafton, big push to the 51 of Jones on the restart, getting him to the lead over Enfinger. Enfinger and Jones wreck with five to go in stage two. 98 loose into the wall, and the leaders are wrecking. Crafton inherited the lead with three to go in stage two. And they get it going there finally. Stage two ends under caution. Crafton picking up the stage two win. Crafton with the battle off pit road ahead of Rhodes in second. You know, it was nice to see, you know, Enfinger took the blame there. You know, I got, you know, right? I mean, it was kind of cut and dry there. Crafton spun him on the restart, though. Tyler Ankrum got the lead. Creed brought it down pit road after getting to the wall. And then, you know, the end of this thing, it stretched out there a little bit. Moffitt in the lead with 21 to go, and he runs out of gas with just a couple laps to go. Tyler Ankrum picks up the win, and he took us through that emotional win there a little bit ago. So that was that. All right, some notables from the race. Happy to see that Spencer Boyd tweeted out that his hat was released from the infield care center. That was hysterical. And took it like a champ there, that's for sure. Struggles continuing for Grant Enfinger, finished 24th. Struggles continue for Decker, finished 27th. Ross with a top five. He has only finished outside the top 10 once this whole truck season, and that was at Iowa. And Sauter was the highest, finishing Ford in 10th. Over to the standings, point standings, that is. Grant Enfinger in first, Stuart Friese in second, Brett Moffitt third, Matt Crafton fourth, Harrison Burton fifth, Ben Rhodes sixth, Austin Hill seventh, and Todd Gilliland wrap out the top eight. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only three races left in the Truck Series regular season, and boy, do we have a battle in the Truck Series. Five different winners, three of which are outside the cutoff line in points, and they are all three inside the top 20. As I mentioned with Tyler earlier tonight, we've got Pocono, Eldora, and MIS to set the playoff lineup. And Eldora could be a wild card because it is very possible a non-series regular could pick up the win. We could have someone else outside the top eight potentially get a win. Things have been shooken up, and they are only going to shake up even more over these next three truck races. And keep in mind, points leader is a lock for the playoffs, even if Grant doesn't get a win, but manages to keep that spot. So right now, Sauter, Ankrum, Chastain outside the top eight with a win. Right now, they would knock out Todd Gilliland, Ben Rhodes, and Harrison Burton. Both KBM trucks would miss the playoffs at the moment, and a solid Thor Sport truck and Ben Rhodes would miss as well. Leaving only Crafton and Friesen and Enfinger in on points. Man, the fun has just begun, but unfortunately, we are going to have to wait a week before the fun picks back up. But once it does, we got 3 weeks in a row with the trucks, including the Thursday night Dirt Derby at Eldora. Next race, Saturday, July 27th at Pocono. All right. Let's move right along over to the Xfinity Series. Christopher Bell picks up the Stage 1 and Stage 2 win with race winner Cole Custer. I don't know what more you can ask for when your top three, who are trading wins, each finish in the top 10 in both stages and finish the race 1-2-3. It was Cole Custer picking up his fifth win on the season, leading me to believe I had the power of the T-shirt at the time. However, that faded very quickly. Bell started this thing out strong and looked like it was going to be the C. Bell show, as I mentioned, picking up the stage one and two wins and able to hold on to it for a few restarts into stage three as well. Custer was the car to beat, though, in stage three. You know, there isn't a whole lot I can try to sell you on this race as a whole. It was a solid race. Not a lot of excitement unfolded, but that doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad race. You know, but when two guys, Cole Bell, lead for 240 or 300 miles, that says a lot about those two cars. They were obviously dominant. One prevailed over the other. And we're not going to get all finishes like we got on Sunday, right? But that said, like, you know, your top three, like I said, one, two, three. You had three rookies in the top 10 as well with Briscoe, Gregson, and Haley, which was nice to see Justin Haley back up his second place finish last week with a solid top 10 this week. You know, they put down the compound to help with the extra lane. And I think it helped a little bit. I do. I think if they had brought a little softer tire, might have helped even more. Could be wrong on that, but I think a little extra tire grip early with a little fall off along with managing tires could have helped. But that said, I was pleasantly surprised in both the Xfinity race and the Cup race. The time behind the leader was closer than expected. You know, like I said, we weren't on the edge of our seats by any means, but the restarts were pretty good during the Xfinity race. And when the leader only wins, you know, by a little over a second at a mile and a half track, that's pretty good in my eyes. Let's see some notables. Custer's teammate, Chase Briscoe, solid top five there. Bell, the only Toyota in the top 10, finished second. Gregson with a sixth place finish. Ryan Truex with a top 10. And Ryan Sieg with a top 10. And hey, I see you, Jeremy Clements. Another top 10 finish. Nice job there, man. Over to the standings. Tyler Riddick, only three wins, but definitely more consistent as far as the finishes are going, as he has a pretty substantial points lead over Christopher Bell and Cole Custer there. They're going to have some work to do and might need a little bad luck from Riddick's part if they're going to try to catch up to him from a points perspective to try to steal the extra playoff points that right now are going to Tyler Riddick. Riddick, Bell, Custer, Cindric, Allgaier, Gregson, Michael Annette, Chase Briscoe, John Hunter Nemechek, Justin Haley, Ryan Sieg, and Brandon Jones wrap out the top 12 there. 12 wins for the big three in the Xfinity Series out of 17 races. I like that a lot. And we are back to some Saturday afternoon racing for these guys at New Hampshire this week. All right, over to the Cup race where it was the Busch Brothers Show. Kurt Busch picking up the stage one win. Kyle Busch with the stage two win. And Kurt Busch picking up the win with Kyle Busch finishing in second. You know, NASCAR has a funny way of working out its own issues sometimes. And this past weekend was no different. A week after Kurt Busch, who in his eyes had a win taken away at Daytona, gets the job done. And I say that not to suggest conspiracy, because in by no means is that what I'm intending. I'm saying that because every guy on that team, I assume, felt had a little chip on their shoulder, wanted to go out the following week here after Daytona in Kentucky and make a statement. And boy, did they do just that. You know, normally I talk about how Kurt Busch sneaks in there during stage three, picks up a top 10 or sorts. But this week, he was up front all day. Like I said, picked up the stage one win, seventh in stage two. And what a battle for the finish with his brother at the end. You know, Busch brothers banging off each other on the final lap across the stripe. You know, was this the most riveting of races this season, especially after the drama we got last weekend at Daytona, Chicago the week before? No. And I am not sure many expected a riveting race this past weekend. But what we got was a solid race with an exciting finish. And I will take solid racing and an exciting finish every weekend if we could get it. Now, you know who wanted those two to take each other out, though, was that Jones boy who was lurking back there in third. A lot of talk surrounding that 20 team not performing, the only Joe Gibbs team without a win. I'm sure he would have loved to have driven past those two in turn four to take the checkered flag. Let's see here. Solid day for Suarez, led a career-high 52 laps. Clint Bowyer led 40 laps, able to get a solid top 10 as SHR still continues to struggle and search for their first win of the year. Notables, I think you guys are going to like this here. Chevy, three wins in a row. Last time Chevy won three races in a row was 2015 when Jeff Gordon won at Martinsville, Jimmy Johnson at Texas, and Junior won at Phoenix. Interestingly enough, Chevy won three in a row four times in 2015. And if not for Carl Edwards and Kyle Busch, almost won nine in a row that year. We have to go all the way back to 2014 when Chevy closed out the season with four wins with Junior, Johnson, and Harvick winning the last two at Phoenix at Homestead to go back to when Chevy's got four. Is it safe to say that Chevy is back? If they win this weekend, not only is Chevy back, but they're making noise. The only thing to say, it's one thing to say a manufacturer is back. It's another for a driver of that manufacturer to say they are back, which I think has to be the focus. Get at least one of these guys with a second win, I think would be huge for Team Chevy. And right now, even though they've got three in a row, Chevy does, I personally think it is still the Joe Gibbs and Penske show at the moment. How cool was that, though? Kurt Busch, the team, joyriding around on the back of the car like they were tailgating and driving through the camp field in the tailgate there. That was awesome. It was fun to see that there. The excitement with that team, it was very cool. I think it was funny that Kurt didn't have a ride home. I'm very curious to see how and who he got one with. I think his post-race interview in the press conference was hysterical, especially the fact that he's like, yep, yeah, we're going over there tomorrow, actually, and I'm going to plop this trophy right up there on his kitchen counter. That was awesome there. All right, over to the standings. Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick in third. But, man, when you reset it there, it's not looking as nice there in third. I think he drops down to eighth, ninth, maybe something like that. Brad Keselowski in fourth, Denny Hamlin fifth, Martin Truex sixth, Kurt Busch seventh, Chase eighth, Alex Bowman ninth, Eric Almirola in 10th, and then it's Blaney, Byron, Larson, Boyer, Johnson, and Eric Jones wrapping out the top 16 this week, Sunday afternoon at New Hampshire. All right. It's time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, and keep rating. There have been some new ratings coming through on iTunes, which is awesome. Thank you to everybody that has pushed a little five-star button there with some comments. Very much appreciated. And two giveaways going on right now. New one out last night at 4,000 Twitter followers. We'll be giving away an awesome MIS Lap Traffic prize pack. Got one of my new Lap Traffic t-shirts and got a very rare Lap Traffic pint glass. Got some koozies. I've got a Busch hat, a Firekeeper's hat, an MIS hat, an MIS tank, an MIS cooler. And an MIS pair of shorts that MIS has sent over and donated to the Lap Traffic Podcast to give away. So get those retweets going. Hopefully can get to 4,000 here by and around MIS time. I'll give it away whenever I hit it, but it'd be awesome to hit it by MIS weekend here in a couple weeks. And then, of course, got the big 5,000 follower giveaway, rear quarter panel. That's right. Yes, I'm giving away sheet metal when I hit 5,000 followers on Twitter from Eric Almirola's car back when he drove for RPM. And speaking of new followers, over on Twitter, some new follower shout-outs. Davidson Roy Sanderford at Lynn Sanderford from New York. Big Kyle Busch fan. Welcome to the show. Tammy at TJ Omack. Big fan of Martin Truex. And an admin for Martin Truex Jr. Nation United on Facebook. That's pretty cool there. George Wickens at Automan 224 from Downey, California. Big fan of Jimmy Johnson. Hashtag Chasen 8. And Ty at Ty Grevy 24. Fan of the 1-9-41-4-2012-2. I like that. You got good odds each weekend there, my man, of being happy in victory lane. That's awesome there. Don't forget, new merch on the store. And of course, as always, I actually just got some new stickers in the mail. So I've got stickers and koozies to give away for free. If you want one, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, send a request. Make sure to put your name and address there, and I will send one out to you for free. All you got to do, just tweet me a picture of it full of your favorite beverage, and I'm even going to put it on the website when I get that. Don't forget to check out the Support Autism link on the website. Helps Freddie the Pizza Man with his 501c3 charity here in Metro Detroit. This is a big month for them as he has his charity golf outing here in a couple weeks that Brad Yunker is actually going to be golfing in. And he raises a ton of money for autism, which is awesome. And of course, go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media. Got another awesome promo for one of the other awesome podcasts outside of the Lap Traffic Podcast that you can also hear on the Big Heads Media Network.
Hello, my name is Jacob.
And I'm his co-host, 5-year-old Olivia.
Do you have kids?
And are your kids curious?
If you answered yes, you should check out Curious Kid Podcast, a weekly educational podcast for curious kids and grown-ups. Every week, we learn about another topic.
We've already learned about spiderwebs, batteries, the moon, and so much more.
You can find us at CuriousKidPodcast.buzzsprout.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, that might be the most adorable kid voice I have ever heard ever. Make sure you check out Curious Kids, especially if you've got a kid. That sounds like a lot of fun right there. Like I said, this network's been a lot of fun interacting with. I think there's now 30 or 40 different podcasts. And you guys have heard it's entertainment brew, and there's a podcast about beer, crime. I mean Curious Kids. This network is covered, and there's a ton of sports podcasts. A New England Patriots one, I think, just joined. A Raiders Nation podcast just joined. You can definitely get your fill of podcasts with the Big Heads Media Network, so make sure you check that out for sure. All right, business is done. Let's see what Mr. Brian Newdorf has in store for us this week.
Hey, Lap Traffic Nation, this is meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you as the NASCAR weatherman on social media. Glad to be helping out once again this week, and what a finish to Kentucky. First of all, it was good to have the weather cooperated, and hopefully we will see something similar over the weekend, but there is some concerns for New Hampshire. But what a finish to the Kentucky race. And that may have been the best part, but I've heard some really good stories from a lot of you fans that the race overall was pretty enjoyable. That's a nice thing to see. But let's look ahead to New Hampshire, and what we're looking at is hot temperatures. Most of the weekend is dry. The big bullseye, or the one I'm circling and keeping my eye on, is going to be in a Saturday. And we have a concern not only for some thunderstorms, but kind of like Chicago, some storms could have, some of those storms in the afternoon on Saturday could be severe. We're talking gusty winds, damaging winds, heavy rain, lightning, and maybe some small hail. It's going to be hot, too. Anywhere from mostly sunny to more clouds in the afternoon with a high temperature approaching the mid-90s on Saturday. Showers will linger Saturday night, so that it does impact potentially the Xfinity race. But Sunday, temperatures upper 80s to near 90, mostly sunny. The rain showers should be out. We do get a break. At this point, odds of racing on Saturday, I'd say it leans around 40%. And I'm going to go in odds of 80% of racing on Sunday, only because timing. If these storms slow down and we come in on Sunday, we may have to adjust things just a little bit. There's a look at your race weekend forecast this weekend for New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Brandon, thanks a lot, and back to you.
Oh, Mr. Brian Newdorf, thank you very much. I had to take the blame for Chicago, but I will not take the blame for this weekend, as I will not be there. That said, hey, Sunday's looking good. Maybe worst case, doubleheader on Sunday, right? Mr. Brian Newdorf, thank you very much for calling in this week. Glad you were able to kick back and take it easy this past weekend. You were working hard 2 weeks there in a row. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. Lap Traffic Nation, you know the drill. After the race, tweet your Lucky Dog or Lap Down Picks, or you can leave your picks on the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Can't wait to crank up the waiver on hotline this Thursday with the listener call-in show. All right, I'm going to get to my picks this week. My lucky dog has to be Tyler Ankrum, for sure. First career win in 12 truck races, absolutely. My lap down, SHR Cup team, not the Xfinity team, the Cup team. Still searching for a win in 2019 after racking up, I think at this point, they had 8 wins last year. So they are definitely still lagging a little bit there. Over to your tweeted responses. Eric at EricS18_9 is the lucky dog. Chevy back on top, better racing at the QS400. Lap down, HMS, not so great night. NASCAR Banter at NASCAR Banter's lucky dog. 3 Chevy wins in a row. Lapped down. Dropped the Jack podcast says lap down. HMS can't stop shooting themselves in the foot. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Kurt Busch, late race restart made for a great opportunity. Lapped down. William Byron, young grasshopper got had on that restart. That's funny there, sir. Rowdy Dragon at the Rowdy Dragon's lucky dog. CGR puts 2 Chevys in the top 5. Lap down, the 4 team did not show up to race. Even Keselowski's broken car finished ahead of Harvick. Feel you there, brother. Ethan at your_buddy_guys lucky dog. Kentucky Speedway and the fans. Bubba spinning set up the green white checker, creating the most exciting finish of the season and most memorable cup race at Kentucky yet. Ethan, that is a good call there. If Bubba does not spin, we do not get that finish there. So good call there, sir. Ethan's lap down pit road penalties, several taken out of contention with mistakes on pit road, some not as clear as others. You know, man, another solid point there, sir. Didn't even talk about that. There have definitely been some issues as far as especially the uncontrolled tires, right? You know, what's an uncontrolled tire? What's not? You know, clearly, when you look at the film, there are definitions, I think, of what an uncontrolled tire is. When the tire is rolling behind the tire changer onto pit road and into the infield, obviously an uncontrolled tire. If the tire changer and the tire carrier are moving around the front of the car and the tire carrier is rolling and it gets an inch in front of him, probably not a uncontrolled tire. You know, I think that, you know, I get the whole, all right, NASCAR wanted to safety, get rid of excess people on pit road with officials standing down there. These things obviously get flagged to a official in the booth, you know, and I think that's where a judgment call definitely should be interpreted a little bit clearer than what we've seen. You know, it's like ump balls and strikes. You know, what might be one for one might not be for another. But I think we can reel it in the Fox box there a little bit better there than what we've done. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog. Kurt Busch, no doubt got it. Lap down, the judgment calls of NASCAR officiating is so inconsistent of what's a caution penalty is puzzling. Yes, it is there, sir. John at Racing_64 is lucky dog. Tyler Ankrum, DGR has been terrible all year, but showed up big time. That they did. Lap down, NASCAR officials that made the pit crew get off Kurt's car. Yeah, that was definitely a buzzkill for sure. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's lucky dog. Tyler Ankrum, first time winner. Lap down, crew chief Billy Scott for Suarez. 4 tire call after stage 1 basically took them out of a chance to win the race with a really fast car. You know, and that's kind of goes back to what I said a little while ago with tires and all that. I think a little softer tire made a little bit of a difference there. And track position was just critical. We had good racing. We had side-by-side racing. We had passing throughout the field, even though some of the cars got spaced out there a little bit. But, yeah, you still needed the pit position or the track position, to have a shot at this thing. So, all right, that is going to do it for the tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Fan, I watched and enjoyed all 3 races, but holy cow, that truck race was a doozy. anything can happen, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how the big three in the Xfinity series will shake out in the playoffs. I think we've got three interesting stories there. Custer and his dominance, can Reddick pull off back-to-back championships, and I think I've said this before, but it would be so cool if Bell gets the Xfinity championship this year. He's got a great shot at being the first to get a championship in all three series. I think he could pull that off, and that would be pretty cool to see. I was really happy for Kurt winning that cup race. I think it ended up the better race to win because it wasn't rain shortened, and with that epic ending, you can't go wrong with that. So I was really happy for him. My lucky dog this week is going to go to Tyler Ankrum. He started off the year strong for a rookie, but then he came across some sponsorship issues. So I think this win is huge for him. I hope it turns things around with that sponsorship deal. My lap down has to go to Natalie Decker for the hat snatch heard around the world. And on a side note, I'm going to give a hat tip, ba-dum-bum, to Spencer Boyd for turning that into a charitable opportunity with the T-shirt that he has for sale. Proceeds are going to a charity that he's involved with. So again, hats off to him. Haha. Anywho, I think that's all I have for now. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thanks for calling in again. You had some excellent, excellent points there. First off, the hat snatch heard around the world. Love it. Taking a little line there from WrestleMania 3 with the slam heard around the world. I love that. And you touched on it there with Tyler Reddick possibly getting a second championship back-to-back with two different teams. I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on there. As well as your point with Christopher Bell, you know, everyone's talking about Bell re-signed, but just a matter of what series will he be racing in. And you mentioned it there in terms of his potential of being the first to capitalize potentially on all three championships, which leads me to say that if he doesn't win this year, I think he will absolutely be back in the Xfinity car next year for that. I think that is, those are some, you know, we talk about stats all day, and there are some stats that it's like, all right, who thought of even looking into that? But that's not a stat that is something that people will have to dig for. If you're the first to do anything of that magnitude, that's something that's always going to be there and always going to be talked about. And so from that regard, I think Joe Gibbs wants that, and he sees the opportunity to potentially make that happen. So I would not be surprised at all, especially if Christopher Bell does not win the championship this year, that he is obviously back in an Xfinity car next year. But that's just my thought on that. All right, got one more call on the Wave Around Hotline.
What up? It is the voice of Wave Around Hotline calling for his weekly call, getting back from Kentucky here. A little frustrated with the race. I'm not saying it was a bad race because it was far from one. My frustration comes in after I've thought about it. I don't think it's more or less the horsepower, but the downforce levels of these cars. And I'll explain so I don't come off as complaining, even though I kind of am complaining. The battle with, I know it was the 14 car and it might have been the 24, watching the 24 really struggle to get around him was kind of a struggle for me to watch and kind of, maybe in a couple ways, except, frustrating seeing a really faster car struggle to pass the slower car. And you see, you know, third and fourth and fifth place cars kind of come up and, Jeff Gluck kind of talked about it a little bit. On his podcast, if you are subscribed to The Athletic, and it's a little frustrating to see that sometimes because clearly that car is faster, but, you know, we just can't get around the slower car because of the way this package is. So it's a different kind of racing and a different kind of evolution that me and obviously the rest of the fan base is going to have to get used to. I think I'm struggling to adapt to it a little bit more than others, but that's all right. I'll get used to it eventually, I'm sure. I'm going to say that my lucky dog this week, I'm going to go with the trucks with a lucky dog. Tyler Ankrum is going to be the lucky dog. That dude came out of nowhere to get a win, and he really, really shuffled up that playoff grid. There's going to be some really good drivers on the outside, drivers and teams that aren't going to make the truck playoffs, and I think that's what makes the truck playoffs, in my mind, the best of any of the three series, because you get good teams that miss it. On that note, I have to put, kind of picking on these guys 2 weeks in a row here, but the KBM guys of Burton and Gilliland a lap down. They got to win, or they're going to miss the playoffs, and who knows what could happen with their careers if they miss the playoffs in a KBM truck. So we'll have to see what happens with those guys moving forward. You have a good one, bud, and I'll talk to you soon on the Listener Call-In Show.
Awesome, man. Yes, Mr. Andrew Cantian will be on the Listener Call-In Show, the voice of the Waiver on Hotline. I love that there, sir. You know, you talk about the downforce there, and I think we've gotten some really decent racing this year, but I think there is still improvement that can be done. We might see it with the next-gen car, hopefully. And for me, you know, I think a big part of that has to deal with the spoiler, and that just, you know, you wouldn't think something like that would be as impactful, you know, an inch here, inch there, you know, but it is. And man, these cars are just glued to that inside line, which is why they had to run the Dragon basically across the entire field, the entire track on the outside lane, just to try to create something so that you might be able to pass on the outside, which goes to your point about slower cars kind of slowing up faster cars, kind of creating our, you know, our own Ryan Newman effect there, if you will. You know, which that is unfortunate. You don't want to see that. I like your Ankrum pick there, of course. And you're right. I said a little bit ago that right now both KBM trucks are on the outside looking in once things get reshuffled here with the standings and the playoff points. And you took it a step further. You know, what could this do for their careers, not being able to go out there in the best equipment, you know, from a truck perspective and not get wins and not make the playoffs with the amount of resources that KBM puts towards that whole organization. So great point there. Can't wait to talk to you about all of that on the Listener Call-In Show. All right, that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lapdown Picks. I love that. That was good stuff there, guys. All right, I think we close this thing out with a little fantasy here. Lapped Traffic Nation back for a third week in a row. Dude just won't go away, man. Come on, David James in second place. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm doing well. You want to get David on here? We just have a tie.
Well, it's funny. If you recall, going into the last week for segment one, we did have a tie, which made that pretty fun and exciting there, and had a couple guys on to call for that. So yeah, it was cool.
Well, that's good. I know you have the technology and you can do that. So yes, that's a good thing.
Yes. Here's hoping anyways. what'd you think of the racing this past weekend?
I enjoyed it. I actually got to see all of it. A little disappointed. I hate to say disappointed. I thought it was a good race, but the way things kind of ended, both for the truck race and then, yeah, Custer winning the Xfinity race, just really literally running away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was the third stage, you know, it was the Bell show for stage one and two. But yeah, no, he had a strong car, fast car.
Yeah, and they just looked good all weekend. It's not a surprise. And yeah, I had Crafton for the truck race, and he ran out of fuel. But then most of the fuel did, but a lot of the lead lap cars did. And that was just a great win for him. Yeah, my gosh, a kid in Ankrum.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. Had him on a little bit ago and just had a blast talking with him. Just so much energy and passion from that, which is really cool.
Yeah, I remember when I was 18. I'm not sure I had that kind of passion. Well, I had that kind of passion and energy for Michigan football, but that was probably about it.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, man, we got 8 weeks to go in segment two. No one took Tyler Ankrum. 10 players with Cole Custer, and nobody took Kurt Busch either. So
Kyle didn't take him home either.
Yeah, Kyle, no. It's funny. All right. Weekly highs this week was 147 points by Peter Kervin with his picks of Kyle Busch, Tyler Reddick, and Ross Chastain. Second weekly high was 145 by Scott Wagner with his picks of Kyle Busch, Justin Allgaier, and Ross Chastain. My outside-the-box thinking with Grant Enfinger, John Hunter Nemechek, and Jimmy Johnson got me a whopping 55 total points for all three series. Their way to represent. And your picks, Martin Truex, Christopher Bell, and Crafton, got you a much more respectable 110 points there, sir.
In my verbal and public apologies to Martin Truex Jr. for picking him.
You don't have nearly the track record that I do, so you're okay.
I know, but but still, from the bottom of my heart, I'll just talk about a snake bit race.
That's funny. Well, sir, I think it's time I hit the top 10 here. In first place with 699 points is Mr. Aaron Studwell. In second, closing the gap, only 7 points back, is David James with 692. And right there in third, a two-way tie with 690 with David Mullins and Ted Anderson. In fourth with 673 is John King. In fifth with 664 is John Etwinsell. In sixth with 653 is Eric McCollum. In seventh with 646 is Robert Keplinger. In eighth with 645 is Matt Crowd. In ninth with 642 is Chad Robb. And wrapping out the top 10 with 641 points is John Warrington. 8 weeks to go. Still anybody's game. At least within the top 10, I think you still got a viable shot. And maybe even if you're outside the top 10, you might be able to sneak your way up in there. So, Aaron, you've got some serious defending to do. If you plan on staying on for the next 8 weeks here, sir.
I have some serious picks coming up, but they're kind of obvious picks. So,
well, see, that's where consistency is key here. And things are going to get a little shifted around next year for the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. That's for sure. Over to the top five cumulative total standings, Ted Anderson has moved up to first with 1967. Robert Keplinger is in second with 1951. Matt Crowd in third with 1929. David Mullins in fourth with 1921. And John Etwinsell wraps out the top five with 1915. Sir, what do you say? You ready to do some picking?
Yeah, I actually did some show prep this time and put some thought into it. I did last time, but in all honesty, I had forgotten my truck pick. So you said something about truck pick during a recording, and I'm like, oh shoot, remember? And I said, are you ready for your picks? And I'm like, I am now.
I am now.
That was literally why.
Well, no truck picks this week, so you're safe.
Nope, I am safe.
All right, we are headed east this weekend to Loudon, where Kevin Harvick picked up his sixth win of the year last year. The difference a year makes is he is still chasing that first checkered flag for 2019. And last year, Chase Elliott picking up the best finishing spot for Chevy in this race. He finished fifth. Can Chase Elliott become the first repeat winner for Chevy this year? Not if Kyle Larson has anything to say about that. He finished second to Kyle Busch in 2017 in the fall race. Chevy has dominated this track. Well, at least they did in the early 2000s, winning 10 of 13 races from July 2006 through July 2012. And since then, it's been the Toyota show. What do you think? Can Kevin Harvick defend and go back-to-back at New Hampshire? Does Chevy get four in a row? Or does Penske and Gibbs remind everyone who the big dogs are? We will find out this Sunday. But first, it is time for our pick. Sir, over to you for the Xfinity race. Who do you got?
Christopher Bell.
Ooh, all right. Yes, nothing too outside the box there, sir.
No, dominant last year at New Hampshire. He is really run well at these kind of flattish 1 mile tracks, and I think he's going to continue to do it this weekend.
I can understand that pick completely. I am going with Mr. Cole Custer's teammate, Chase Briscoe, in the 98 to make a little rookie noise this weekend. He ran really good this past weekend. Both SHR Xfinity cars did well. So I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe this week. Over to the Cup Series, sir. Who do you got?
A pissed off Kyle Busch is not to be trifled with. He will make up for being shown up by his older brother. And number and stat of the weekend, or the week, Kyle Busch has led over 1,000 laps at this track in 27 races. Next closest is a Truex Jr. with somewhere in the mid 700s with two less races. So I think Kyle Busch are going to be, will be going to victory lane and holding the lobster.
Excellent. You're going to like my pick because I am going with older brother Kurt for back-to-back wins this weekend. So we shall see.
We'll
How
put
about
a
another one
we'll
two see, finish this weekend.
Yes, we'll have a we'll put a bow. We'll see if we can put a bow tie on Larry the Lobster.
There we go. I love it. Alrighty, man. Thank you so much for calling in. And hey, if no one has anything to say about it, you'll be back on next week.
Hey, like you said, I got to keep winning. They'll keep staying on the show. Works for me.
Excellent. I love it, man. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Have a great week.
You too. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 137 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Don't forget about the new giveaway at 4,000 followers, the MIS Lap Traffic Swag Giveaway. Tons of content coming out over the next couple weeks. Big thanks to Tyler Ankrum, Brian Newdorf, and Aaron Studwell for calling in tonight. Next week, Pat DeCola, manager and editor for NASCAR.com, is coming on the show. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!